Good afternoon. Oh, that sounds like you're awake. Good, let's try and keep it that way. I know afternoon services are hard. We'll pray for the mothers with small children, y'all. I will try not to overly belabor any point. I want you to turn with me, if you have it, Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. I won't try and summarize the rest of the book. It's good. Read it. We're just going to jump straight in. 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is not any ordinary name. I know sometimes when I was, at a job and I had to go give somebody bad news, you know whose name I'd give them when I'm telling it? My bosses. I'm sorry. This is the name that I'm coming in. Don't shoot me. I'm the messenger, right? Because there was a higher authority that I was representing. Y'all, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. If you're a pastor, a teacher, elder, when you're up here, absolutely, you're representing him. Amen. If you're in the pew, you're representing him. Right. Yeah. When you're out in your community, when you're behind the car, behind the wheel in the car, when that person cuts you off and you react, Yes. You're representing him. For good or ill, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The admonition is whatsoever you do in word or deed, word. Anything that comes out of your mouth should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. There are things that come out of our mouth that ought not come out, right? We all struggle. We got that little member that can, start a forest fire awful quick with just a little spark. But whatever we do, and I'm just going to remind you of things you know. That's okay. I'm going to stir up your good minds. Whatever you do in word or in deed, your toils, your labors, your actions, it should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment. We want to think about how great is this name. Philippians 2, we'll just read a little bit to get in the beginning of the sentence. 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of that, because God came down, became the God-man, humbled himself, obedient to the Father's will, even to dying on the death by the hands of his own creatures, he laid down his life voluntarily for his people. Wherefore, because of this, God hath highly exalted. You know what exalted means? Lifted it up. Highly exalted him and given him a name which is above some names. One or two names. Every name. That's who you and I represent. When we are walking in this world, when we are talking, when we are living the life that he's given us, with that one more breath, you know where that breath came from? Him, the Creator God, the Sustainer God. He's allowing you to live one more breath. You're living it in his service and you're representing him. He has a name that's higher than every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, does it say will bow? It actually says should. Should bow. Right now, he has a name that's worthy of everybody right now that they should drop to the knee. Amen. One day they will. One day they shall. But his name is already that great. Right now. That at that name, every knee should bow. What are you doing when you're bowing? You're acknowledging someone who's better. He's best, right? You're bowing every knee. Things in heaven and things in earth. There's nothing that outranks him. Things under the earth. That every tongue should confess. Confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, we use that word Lord a lot, and sometimes we forget what that means. Master, boss, the top. Is that how his name is used out in our culture? No, it's a byword. It's a curse word. It's a slander. It's so cheapened and tawdry. And we can get really upset when people say things, well, that's my Lord that you're talking about there. And they don't even think about it. Right? It's just a throwaway word for them. But are we any better when we say things that don't represent him well? When we do things that don't glorify him, that bring shame to his name? David got himself in a whole lot of trouble, and he gave the enemies of the Lord great occasion to blaspheme the name. Oh, this is a follower? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has a name that's higher than all. And at that name, every knee will bow, and they should now. And every tongue should confess that he is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Why do you live? To the glory of God the Father. Why did he come? Why did the Lord Jesus come? He came to do the Father's will, and it glorifies the Father. We confess that he is Lord. It glorifies the Father. Yes. Why are you here? A lot of people spend a lot of time, why am I here? They can go to the self-help books and they can get a lot of different answers. You're here to glorify the Father. Amen. All that you do, in word or in deed. All right? I want you to do it in the name of Jesus. And y'all know this, but we forget. We don't keep that in the forefront of our mind. We let the distractions and the worlds and the jobs and the kids and all that, and we get so wrapped up in the busyness that why am I here? I'm here to glorify my Father, my Heavenly Father, the one I can cry out and cry, Abba, Father, because of my Lord, who is Lord, who's been lifted up to this position of great exaltation, the highest you can achieve. That's the name. That's who I serve. Who's my boss? Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, the Anointed One by the Father. He's come, he's purchased me, I belong to him, you belong to him. And he has secured eternity for his people. Without a doubt. That's who we represent. Do we have to be afraid by the storms and the pain and the sorrow and all the things that come with the sin-cursed world? It will bother us, right? We're human, we're flawed. But where do we go back to? To the Lord. To his name, right? Everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, I'm going to give you a few scriptures where this expression is used, just to remind us, and how often it was fun kind of studying this, of when somebody did something and they did in the name of Jesus. So we're just going to look at a few of those, and then I'll sit down. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, we'll get down in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We could spend some time there. We're not going to today. Go back and read that and chew on that another day. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yeah. What does it mean to name the name of Christ? That means I just said Christ? No. That is, you're professing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who's going to do that now? His people, the ones who he has born again so they can see and believe and know that he is Lord. They are, and this is something we do. This is verbally, in word or deed. If you have not made the public profession that Jesus Christ is your Lord, do that. Right. Name it. And there's something else that comes with that, right? What is it? Depart from iniquity. Yeah. Right? Well, the apostles say when it's time to repent and be baptized, right? It's not, I'm calling you as you are and stay that way. No, Jesus came to sinners to call them to repentance. Because guess what? When you're born again, you can see that I'm a sinner. And that's really shocking to discover. Because before, when you're dead in trespasses and sins, you think you're pretty good. Right? You can find somebody worse. I mean, at least from appearances on the outside. Well, I'm not so-and-so. I'm not a real bad person. I'm pretty good, right? And then your scales fall off your eyes and you see, what am I, a wretch? Wretch is not a good word, right? You ever heard a gospel singer singing, "Oh, amazing grace," and wretch just sounds like it's this most beautiful thing, right? Wretch is an insult, right? It's saying, "I'm not good." And what a blessing when you can see that. Because that shows you how good your God is, that He loved you anyway. Amen. And commended His love to you when you were yet a sinner, not because you somehow cleaned yourself up. And so, if you can see that today, rejoice. The Lord loves you and He's called you to confess that He is the Christ, that He is the Lord. So, confess and depart from iniquity. All right? To lay down those things that you used to bask in and wallow in the world and leave them alone. All right? Begin the battle, right? You're going to have that old man. You're going to be battling the rest of your life until you're dead. That's one of the beautiful things about heaven is you won't be battling the old man anymore. You'll be free from sin and you can praise God and worship perfectly. But when you're born again, baby Christian, the battle's begun. Yeah. All right? Those lusts within, they're still there. You've got to battle them, okay? But you cannot let them rule you anymore. You have a new master. He's revealed Himself to you and He is telling you, "I have bought you. I have paid for you. You are mine." So let all those that confess, and so we do need to confess that He is Lord, to name the name of Jesus Christ as He is Lord. He is Master. And we do that with the invitation to the inner church. If anyone wants to make a public profession, public confession that Jesus is Lord, do that now. And then what do the apostles say over there in Acts? Repent, right? And be baptized. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? That's in Acts 2 and 38. If you want to just go see, we'll read it. Acts 2:38. All right, day of Pentecost, they're pricked in their hearts. "Men and brethren, what should we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent, turn from iniquity, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." All right, repent, confess the Lord, repent, and be baptized. Why are you being baptized? You're being baptized in the name of the Lord. You're associating with Him, that He's my master. I am willing to publicly confess that. I don't care what the world says, and I'm going to have this symbol of the death of the old man, right? He's going into the grave and joining with Jesus in the resurrection, that one day this body is going to be planted in a grave, right? My soul and spirit will be with the Lord, and then one day there's going to be a great transformation. The resurrection is going to be so beautiful, and that picture of baptism is going to become perfect, right? Where you have that glorified body, and you get to worship Him every aspect of you without a scintilla of sin, without the smallest little bit. So when you're doing, and these are things we're talking about, doing in the name of the Lord, from the very beginning of your walk as a Christian, you're confessing He is Christ, He is Lord. You're doing that in His name. You're associating with Him. I am His, right? I want to depart from iniquity because I'm His. Not I'm departing so I can become His. I'm already His, and this is what glorifies Him. I want to be like my elder brother, like my Savior, all right? So professing, departing from iniquity, being baptized in His name. How about Matthew 18? You know, think about, we hear that one kind of referenced in context, maybe church discipline. But I want you to think about Matthew 18, 20. What are we doing here today? "For where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them." Skipped a part, right? Yeah. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name." There's a lot of clubs. There's a lot of social functions. There's a lot of groups you can join. And they may do profitable things as far as by the world's standards. But gathering together in the name of Jesus Christ, that's what we do. Right, do all in word or in deed. Here's one that you need to do. Gather together. The called out assembly, right? That's the church. You're called out of the world to assemble together in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's not in the name of Jesus Christ, you're just playing church.
That's right.
All right? He's the head. He's the focus. He should be the center of the message. It should be directed to you, pointed to Him.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Gather in His name. And guess what it says? I'm in the midst of them. That should be exciting.
Yeah.
Right? We're not here alone waiting for our boss to come back. Now, we're waiting to see Him. That's going to be great. With real eyes, right? We can see Him now with the eye of faith, but He's here in our midst because we're gathering in His name. All right? Gather in His name. Professing, repenting, being baptized, And then gather, right? This is a big element of what we do. This should not be a little sidebar part of your life. Right? If you're doing all in His name, in word or deed, gathering together with His saints, because one of the hallmarks of loving the Lord, right, is that you love His children, right? That's how all men know that you're disciples. If you love one another, right? So you want to be around those you love, right? All right, so gather in My name. All right, go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and this is going to be in a negative context, but you'll see what I'm getting at. Acts chapter 5 and 40. The religious leaders are really upset at the apostles because they keep teaching people, and that's problematic. They really, really don't like it. And they're trying to figure out what they should do about it, and they finally, come up with a plan, and they're going to call the apostles into them, and they beat them. And then they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Do all in word or in deed in the name of Jesus. And here, the world is telling them, you cannot speak in the name of Jesus. So that's the negative. What's for us? We need to be speaking in the name of Jesus. Right? Is this reserved just for preachers? No. Right? The object of your affection, you should enjoy talking about.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Any of y'all got grandkids? Any of y'all everybody shown pictures of your grandkids to somebody? Anybody told some of all the wonderful accomplishments and achievements and how many soccer goals they got to someone you've never met before? But you want to tell them about their grandkids. Why? You love those grandkids. Grandkids are good. I'm not getting them down. But I'm talking about someone better.
Yes.
Right? Our love for the Lord should be oozing out of our face in a very good way. All right? How's that for imagery? Right? Speak! Speak in His name! Right? We should not be hiding the little light that we have under the bushel, right?
Right.
Silly children's song, you may say, but there's a lot of truth in that. Right? Well, one, because it's coming from Scripture, but still. We get timid, we get shy, right? Y'all ever been around someone who's just a new believer? What do they want to talk about? They want to talk about Jesus, right? Shame on us who've been around a little while who that kind of rubs, that feels like we've fallen off from that a little bit, right? It can be convicting to be around someone who, they don't know very much about Scripture, but you can see from the way they talk and how they're interacting with people, they love the Lord and they want to know more, right? That's kind of contagious. Kind of infectious, right? It's encouraging, right? Can you be an encourager to others?
Yes.
Yeah! Speak about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, right? Little ones are listening, right? Speak about Jesus. Go back one chapter to Acts chapter 4, verse 18. This was, chapter 5 was the second interaction. This was earlier. They had gathered them together, and they had threatened them, and they told them, they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. All right, so there's speaking about Jesus, and then there's teaching in the name of Jesus, right? Again, I ask you, is teaching in the name of Jesus just reserved for preachers? No. Y'all got kids? Parents? Whose responsibility is it to teach your children?
Parents!
Fathers, primarily you. Mothers underneath His authority, but parents, you have an obligation to teach! Husbands, who are the wives supposed to come to when they have questions? You. Which means you're a teacher too, and you got to be ready to answer, which means you need to be in the Word, right? These things are not just reserved. You don't have to be an apostle with your life on the line to be told you shouldn't teach or preach, or not teach or speak, right? We should be willing to speak and teach. Older sisters teaching the younger sisters, right?
Yeah.
Older brothers teaching younger brothers, right? Open our mouths. Teaching is more than just sharing our experience, right? Teaching gives instruction, right? Where is your best instruction? It's not I think or I feel.
That's right.
It's thus saith.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Let me show you what it says. Right? If you can quote it, great. If you're going to mess up a word, go to it. At least that's how I like to read from up here, because I feel like if I'm quoting, I've got a danger of missing a word, because every word is great.
Yes.
Right? Go to the Word. teach. Be willing to teach. All right? And I'm not saying to go just start knocking on your neighbor's doors. You have relationships in your life already where you have opportunities to talk about Jesus. Right? And if he's on your mind, guess what? He's going to come up more. Right? And share and look and be looking for opportunities. Y'all ever prayed, Lord, give me an opportunity to talk about you? You may not have. Pray that. Guess what?
Yeah.
He'll send them. Why? Because it glorifies the Father.
Yeah.
You're being obedient because you're talking about a name that's the best topic there is. Y'all ever waste any time talking about sports?
Yeah.
Or politics?
Yeah.
Or Wall Street? Okay, in the pecking order of things worth talking about. All right? Let me summarize that, right?
Yeah.
Choose the best things. Well, I don't know what to say. Then you probably need to spend some more time and get familiar with him.
Amen.
He's given you his revealed word in your language, available in your home and on your phone, and the opportunity is there. Make time. It's for your good and for your benefit and for those around you. And it builds up the body. Right? That's why he's given us gifts and talents to build up his bride, the body of his church. Right? It's for our mutual benefit.
Yes.
Glorify your Father by giving yourself and doing it all in his name. Not for my pride, not for looking smart. Right? I could get up here and I could give you some $3 words. I went to law school. I know some $3 words. But if it doesn't teach you anything, what's the point? Right? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, right?
Yeah.
We should be able to teach so that the youngest among us are getting something. Maybe not 100%, but 95%,
yeah.
Right? Profess, repent, be baptized, gather, speak, teach. We'll get you one more and then I'll stop. Acts 9:27. Barnabas is having to, put in a good word for this new preacher. We heard some things about this guy. His name was Saul at the time, and he used to go into churches and houses and haul off the members, take them to the jail, and then testify that, yeah, they're worthy to be put to death. And now he's preaching. Woohoo! And Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and how he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Your God's so powerful, he can take his worst enemy, worst critic, all right, and flip him around to make him one of his best zealous advocates. And here he is preaching boldly, all right? So, preacher brethren, what can we do in the name of Jesus? We can preach boldly, utterly frank. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, and I'm not saying to be unkind. I'm not saying to be seeking to cause fights or consternation, but to plainly teach the Word of God in the name of Jesus for His glory and for your Father's glory. That's what we're called to do. What would Paul pray for? That he would be able to preach the Word boldly in a way that would be glorifying to the Father, right? If Paul needs prayer that he can preach boldly, what do you think you and I and other preachers need? We need some prayer. Because why? Because our flesh is weak. I'd say naturally I'm a coward, right? Guess who did not want to go into a public speaking job, right? I was content hiding behind my computer, and I would get nervous having to get on a phone call and negotiate a contract, right? I didn't like it. There's no way I wanted to be in court. But the Lord's called me to this role, and in obedience to it, I need to get up here, open my mouth, and boldly declare the truth of Jesus Christ in his name.
Yes.
Right? Anything I say that's of any value is because I'm saying it in his name from his book. And you can go back and fact check me. Right? Please do. Go be a noble Berean and go in your word. Right? If I miss something, come tell me. Right? I want to get better. Alright? But if it's just my opinion, But if it's from this, then I can be bold.
Yeah.
Shoot me if you want. I'm just the messenger. But I've got really good news, right? It'd be unfortunate to be a herald of bad news, right? Preachers, are you a herald of bad news? No, you're the herald of the greatest news, the gospel, the good news, right? The best news ever.
Amen.
We get in the mully grub sometimes. Because we get down and see, and And our efforts and our power and things just don't seem to be going our way, and we want them to be better. But who's still in charge? He is. And so everything we do it in word or in deed. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And obviously, there are a lot more things that we could look at, and we won't because it's an afternoon service. But think about this. This is the name higher than all names. And this is who you serve. And this is who you have an opportunity to represent. Every time your eyes open, every time you have another breath, you are in His service and you get to glorify Him. Don't waste that opportunity. It's one more day, one more moment, one more second. That conversation that you really don't want to have. I was in Arby's the other day. There was a guy who comes in. He had 1 John 4 on his tag of his truck. I was like, that's kind of interesting. I feel like I should go talk to that guy. You know what I did? I didn't. I went and flipped open my Bible and started reading 1 John 4. And a lady over there says, what you reading? I said, 1 John 4. She says, why? I said, well, it's on his tag over there. And I look at him. I said, what's your favorite verse? And he's deaf. He was 94 years old. He couldn't hear me. But in that, the Lord kicked my little tush, and I got over there, and I sat and talked to this man for 30 minutes. Like, I knew the Lord was prompting me to go do it, and I was resistant. If you see an opportunity, don't chicken out. Be bold, right? You have something worth talking about. Right? Brag on your God, right? You can brag on your grandkids, right? Sometimes your grandkids will let you down. Your God won't, right? He has no error. He has nothing but greatness, goodness, holiness. And look what His Son has done. This is a topic worthy of our time and attention. And I thank y'all very much. May the Lord bless you.